Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the fact that you promise us that you will always be there. And Lord, as we step forward into trials and challenges and difficulties, whether it be at work or at home or even here in church, that Lord, you would say what you said to Joshua, be strong and of good courage, for I'm always with you and I will never leave you or forsake you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We serve a God who's faithful. That's one of the most wonderful promises that the Bible gives us, that God will never let you down, that you can stand on His word like a rock, and you'll never be thrown over by the storms. Oh, you'll be buffeted and beaten down, but you'll always come back with a greater weight of glory. And this month, as we're looking at reflecting, remember the Bible is supposed to be a mirror. And the mirror is supposed to, it says, show you two things. James says, first of all, if you look into it, you'll see yourself. And then you know what to do with yourself. Just like when you get up in the morning and you take that chaotic face that you have after a night's sleep and you go into the bathroom and you look at it and you know, okay, I've got to do this and this and this so you can be presentable. That's what the scripture does to us, James says in chapter 1, starting in 21 and going to 25. And the second thing it does is it shows us God. It shows us the God we serve, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We see Him as a reflection in a mirror, and the Spirit shows Him. So we're able to see us, and we're able to see God, and we're able to see how those two relate through the characters and stories and other things that happen in the Bible. And so when we read about a character like we did last week with Moses, or like we're going to do today with Joshua, or like we're doing in the evening with Elijah or Elisha, you're able to see them and say, those are not comic book Superman characters. James says specifically about Elijah that he was a man of like passions as we are. He's just like you and me. But God worked through him mightily. And Joshua also was a man just like you and me. He didn't leap tall buildings in a single bound. He got up in the morning with bad breath and had to eat and got weak. But God came to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. And God calls him to something very special and very, very different. But like I said, Joshua is like one of us. And so the same kind of call that Joshua had, you have. You're not immune. You're not here to just sort of float to heaven. You're here, like Joshua was, to go and find your promised land. Find your promised land. He tells us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant is dead now, therefore arise and go over the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the children of Israel. To the place, verse 3, that every place of the sole of your feet will tread that I have given you. It says, those are for you. Now, the promised land for us is not a specific physical land, but God has a promised land for you. It's not heaven. Because heaven, there's no walls, and heaven, there's no giants. It's this world. God has a promise for you, a thing that He wants you to conquer. Something He wants for your life to be full, and He's given it to you. It says that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He's made you for it. But you've got to go in and take it. And I want to ask you, do you know what God has? Have you found your promised land? Are you marching in and conquering what God wants for you to do? He wants none of you to just sit back until you die. And so, like he tells Joshua, he's telling you and me, go in and find your promised land. Claim what I have for you. Now it's a new challenge, a new generation. Moses is dead. Now I want you to look here at this congregation right now, and it's very interesting about this congregation, just today especially. We've got two very, very distinct groups of people here. We've got the golden age, and we've got you young whippersnappers. And one of these days, Tom will be dead, and Vincent will be dead, and Kitty will be dead, and Emma and Nilda will be dead, and you know, even Simon and Natasha. You know, we're getting up there where Moses was. Not quite. I mean, none of us have hit 120 yet, but you know what I mean. And there's a new generation, a new challenge. And that, you got to take over. What happens when your servant Tom is dead? It's going to happen. My servant Moses. Moses served the Lord in the wilderness for 40 years and he was strong. Even when he died, the moment he died, he was still strong. He died because God took him. You never know when that day's going to be where even if you're in your strength, one of these days, you know, it's a big disruption for Moses to die. Hey, just for Tony to go to Dallas and Maria to go to Dallas is going to be a big disruption. There's a gap there. But there's got to be soldiers to fill the gap. You say, well, you know, no, every Sunday Tom's there and he's preaching. Every Sunday Tony was there and he's teaching. Every Sunday everybody's filling their place. But, you know, every Sunday and the next Sunday it could be different. What's going to happen? So God tells Joshua, you know, here we are. It's now your turn. Step on in, or it's going to fail. You've got to go in there, or it's going to fail. God has a place for you. So he goes on, and he gives them great and precious promises. Now, this is the wonderful thing about the Word of God. Too many people spend all their time on the commands. So the commands are important, and we'll see that later down in verse 8 and 9. But God doesn't command us to do something without giving us, with it, promises to build us up. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, he says that. He says that by these great and precious promises, we are partakers of we share in the divine nature. So you look in the scripture and you find the promises and you claim the promises and you say, I will stand here because even though I don't see it, that promise is true. And it's precious. And it's great. And I'll never... What happened to my... All of a sudden my thing went out here. Let's get this back on. I will never, ever run out of the promises of God. So what promises did he give Joshua? Because you know what? These promises that he gave Joshua, he repeats to you and me in other places in Scripture. See, these weren't just promises for Joshua. They're promises for you. And the first promise he gives him, he'll have victory at every step. Notice verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. You step there, it's yours. So where does that say that in the New Testament? Paul says the same thing in Romans. He says, all things are yours. He says, he has given you his son, chapter 8 of Romans. How would he not freely with you give you all things? Where you step, if you step in the power of the Lord, where you step, it's yours. Now, it may not be obvious immediately. Joshua stepped a lot of places. You know, they went around Jericho, just that one city, 7 days. And they stepped and they stepped and they stepped. And you know what? Jericho still wasn't theirs. The walls were still standing. So they got up the next day and they stepped on it again and they went around it again and they got up the next day. And then the seventh day, they went around it seven times and stepped and stepped and stepped and stepped and stepped. How long do I have to step there before it really shows to be mine? But then they blew the horns and they shouted and the walls come tumbling down. Because Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. It's an old song. Some of you young people never heard it. But you know, where you step, God gives it to you. It's yours. You can be victorious in your life. Don't let it get you down that you don't see it yet. Tomorrow the walls will fall. You don't have to be defeated. God promises, Romans 8:28, I will work 99.2% things for good. Is that what he says? No. All things, every place you step, it's yours for good to turn you into the image of Christ. He promised it to Joshua. But you gotta get, you know, if God says everywhere you put your foot is yours, and you put your foot for your whole life in a 3x5 room, you haven't got a whole lot, have you? Or you step and run in place, like, or you got it like your little hamster wheel, you know. You got to get out and step. Try things. Get involved. Move those feet. Those beautiful feet, Romans chapter 10, that preach the gospel. Victory at every step. Second promise, victory over every opponent. Victory over every opponent. He says, then the next verse, verse 4, he says, he keeps on telling them about where their steps is. All the lands of the Hittites, verse 4. And then he says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. You are, it says in Romans 8, more than conquerors. There is no one in the world, no matter how powerful, no matter what they do to you, who can ultimately defeat you. Even if they burn you at the stake, you're victorious. Because like Paul, you can say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. Oh, that's too strong for me. He says, no man shall stand against you all the days of your life. Don't fear what men can do. Because in the end, they can't do a thing that God's not in control of. I want you to remember John chapter 18. Jesus is in the garden. He's about to be taken to be crucified. And they come with a whole legion of Roman soldiers, hundreds of Roman soldiers, all in their armor, you know, looking all strong and muscular and He-Man and big and powerful. We want Jesus. Here I am. And those little words just knocked them all down. And they all rattled and clanked down the hill in their armor. And they got up and dusted themselves off, you know. We want Jesus. I said, I am He. Now, take me and let these go. Here's the guy being arrested giving orders. And they're being followed. A whole legion of Roman soldiers are saying to one Jewish carpenter. Yeah, you set the terms here. You guys can go. Not only could they go, but they were all followed them and went around the place where Peter denied the Lord. This is the place where they're having the trial. You know, how many people, you got a little gang, you know, you got you and your 12 merry men, you know, and you got your little gang and they've arrested you, and the other guys have gotten loose, how many of the rest of the guys go and hang around the police station? No! They were safe! They didn't know it, they were scared! But Jesus has victory for you over anyone that comes against you. Victory over every opponent. Because why? Because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says it twice in this verse, in Joshua chapter 1. Verse 5 at the end, I will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 9 at the end of the verse, the Lord God, I will never leave you or forsake you. He says, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Couple of things he had to repeat here because we got thick skulls. We don't listen. So he says it twice. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. That is my promise. And he says it to us too. That's why I'm saying Joshua wasn't the only one. Matthew chapter 28 verse 20. He gives the Great Commission. He says this. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with you. Holding your hand. You're not holding his hand. He's holding yours. John chapter 10, verse 28. My Father is greater than I, and no one can take you out of his hand. Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am persuaded that all these things, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He will never. Now, he feels like he's gone sometimes. That's where faith comes in. Faith and feelings sometimes clash. See, where are you, God? Where are you? Like Job. Where are you, God? Where are you, God? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. You know, God heard all of that, and then he comes and he says, here I am. I've been here all along. Now what do you want to say? And Job realized he had been speaking foolishly. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Great promises. Next, you have an inheritance to divide. He says in verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He says, Joshua, it's not just for you, it's for those who are to come. And my question to each of us, starting with me, is what are we leaving for those who are to come? And I'm not just talking, with Joshua is a physical land, but we're not talking necessarily only physical truths here. One of the reasons our nation is in such dire straits is that the generations in the past didn't consider God's promises and inheritance that was worth leaving to their kids. Oh, and speaking of that, I talked to Deborah yesterday. You all remember Deborah. She has come back from England, and she's just a changed woman. The Lord has really done wonderful things. But one of the things she said about England, she said, I couldn't find a church there. I went to England for 3 months, and I couldn't find a church in England that was open where they were preaching the Bible. England, where so much of great faith was grown, England of Spurgeon, England of the Puritans, no! It's dead. Spiritually dead. And we're following along in its footsteps. You're going to conquer the land, Joshua, but one of these days you're going to die and you're going to have to pass it forward as an inheritance. What are you going to pass? What are we leaving our kids, our grandkids in this country where I read an article yesterday where some kid in a school, little kid, 5-6-year-old kid, went to the school and he had long hair about down to here. And it's against the dress code for their boys to wear long hair. But the boys who identify as girls can. So they told him, he said, look, you either got to cut your hair or wear a dress. He was told that by the school, By the principal of the school, you can, and it's like normal. Look, either you wear a dress, identify as a girl, or you cut your hair. That's crazy. He's five. That's what we're leaving our kids. Where's the inheritance that we're going to give to provide to our kids the spiritual promised land that our kids need? And he says, whatever you do will prosper. That's the promise. Joshua 1, 7 and 8. Be strong and be courageous that you may observe to do, verse 7, according to the law of Moses, my servant commanded you, not to turn to it from the right hand to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all this written for him. For there then you shall make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Now, I'm not talking this shallow prosperity that these prosperity preachers are preaching, where you rub the Aladdin lamp of the Word of God and you get your planes and your Cadillacs. But I am saying that when you follow the commands of the Lord, what you do will ultimately succeed. You will not be a failure. Your life will have fullness and meaning in whatever you do for Him. That's prosperity. It has nothing to do with the most toys. You know, God's been pretty good in giving me a bunch of toys. I was just thinking yesterday how many guitars He's given me. I only need one. He's given me a bunch of guitars. He knows I like guitars. God's good. He does it. Whatever we do shall prosper. That's what He tells us. That's what He promises us. And so that's just Old Testament. That's just Joshua. No, that's also James, if we look in James chapter 1. And again, I have to read it because it does have my favorite old British-sounding verse in it. Love the old King James. I don't have an old King James here, but that one I know by memory. Because it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love that phrase. It just sounds so British. I can just picture the guy with the top hat, you know. And receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And it goes through telling you, don't just hear it, but do it. And down in verse 25 it says, he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all that he does. That's James, because God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same, Hebrews 13:8, yesterday, today, and forever. So, oh, my life has just been a shambles up to this point. I haven't gotten anything. I'm still, you know, I'm 65 and still sitting in my parents' basement playing Wii. You know, Moses didn't start his ministry till he was 80. So, don't worry about the age. Step up, step out, and claim the great and precious promises of God. So what does he tell Joshua to do in view of the total safety that he has in God? He tells him to be strong and of good courage. And he tells him various times to be strong and of good courage. Because he doesn't see the promises. He believes the promises. But what he sees coming into the promised land are walls and giants. That's what you see. You see Goliath. You see the walls of Jericho. You see the soldiers of the enemy, armed to the teeth with things that can harm you. But you have God and you believe the promises. So what does he say? What is he asking us to do? The first thing is to be strong. Now the word strong, the Hebrew word here strong, means to fasten on. And the idea is pit bull. You ever been pit bull? When they grab on, or a crocodile, when they clamp those jaws down, you ain't getting out. You can't pull them off. And that's what the word that comes from a root mean to fasten, to clamp down on. So go in there and you just clamp down on that thing which God wants for you and you don't let go. Let it buck you, let it try and throw you. You just hold on and go. Be strong. Get those pit bull jaws and hold on. And then it says, be of good courage. And courage is not a lack of fear. You know what, in battle, you know what a lack of fear is? Dumb. And he says, oh, no, I'm just going to walk through this minefield, you know, I'm not afraid of it. Oh, yeah, that guy's got a, you know, he's got an M16. I'll just walk towards it. No. That's not courage. That's stupidity. Courage, fear is an emotion that God gave because there are things that are dangerous. You've got to be wise. You've got to take that fear and use it to come to God and say, God, now how do I do this? And then still afraid, you step out. You step forward. You may still feel the emotion. You think that those people we just remembered 9/11 this past Wednesday. Do you think those firefighters and policemen that rushed into those towers when they were crumbling felt no fear? Absolutely not. They were afraid. But they went anyway. Don't feel when you're afraid that, well, I'm just not a courageous person. I'm just a coward. No. The courageous person is the one who says, okay, God, I believe your promises. I am so scared. I'm trembling, but I'm going. Joshua was going to stand before trained armies with his ragtag bunch of desert rats. But he was going to be courageous. What about you? Then he tells them, don't turn towards the right or towards the left. Joshua chapter 1 verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all of the law of Moses, for my servant commanded you, not to turn from it to the right hand or to the left. There's danger on both sides, and I've said this before, and it's one of my favorite statements from C.S. Lewis. The devil always sends his arrows in pairs so that by running from the one, you fall into the opposite one. Now, you got to go down the middle. Right down the middle. Right where God's word is. You know, if you're on a road and there's a wall on this side and a cliff on the other and you're driving your car, you don't want to go to the right and hit the wall. You don't want to go to the left and hit the cliff. You want to stay on the road. And people will try and pull you to both sides. You have to say, no, God's word says this. I don't care what you say. God's word says this. I'm going forward and I'm going to do it. He says, meditate and do God's word. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Don't spend your more time on other meditations than you spend here. In this Bible, in this book, it is, through the power of the Spirit, the source of your success. And this book says he's got a job for you to do. You are going to go in. You, he tells Joshua, you and all these people. If you stay on the other side of the Jordan, you miss out. I can lead, but I can't pull. Joshua couldn't put a hook in everybody's nose and pull them across the Jordan. He said, let's go, and they followed. Cross your Jordan today. I challenge you. Ask yourself. And don't be satisfied until you find what it is that God wants you to do as a child of His. Jesus came and He gave you eternal life free. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Not of your works, lest you should boast. He paid for it with His blood on the cross. You accepted by faith. But that is when He made you into what He made you in verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He has prepared beforehand, that you may walk therein. So find them and walk. That's what you were made for. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Joshua and the way you led him to victory in the Promised Land. And Lord, the same God that is with Joshua is with us. Lead us also into victory in each of our Promised Lands that you've given us, both apart and together. And we pray these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.